Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
Good evening, everyone. We're doing things a little bit differently tonight. You may be aware that there's some chairs on the stage. Things are different. But we've got a moment to the family that we want to capture, because we believe that we are a family. We're not just a motley crew of people who come together to sing songs and go our separate ways. We rejoice together. When there's success, we rejoice and we celebrate together. When there's failure, when there's loss in any way, we mourn and grieve together. And we don't want to move on from this moment, because very sadly on Thursday we lost an incredible friend, incredible man of our congregation, a family member, a brother who we love hugely, Anton Donker, and the family are here, some of the family, but we lost him in a tragic accident, in a microlife accident. He was a young man, a man full of life. He was a man who lived life to the full. He was always looking for a type of activity that would push his adrenaline. Am I right, Dan? He was never a man to sit back and just in his comfort zone, and he had that same approach to his walk with Jesus. He was a man who asked questions. You know, Anton and Nikki, they're a quiet couple, but they've got such depth to them that they don't take this thing lightly. They don't take their walk with Jesus lightly. And I think it's the most incredible privilege that we're able to honor this incredible man, Anton, this friend of ours. We've got a memorial service on Tuesday at 10 a.m. But tonight what we're wanting to do is we want to frame this thing and frame this question of grief. And how do we mourn as a family? And how do we, because we want this thing to affect us. I think it would be wrong if we moved on here and try to move on quickly. Because when we lose something of value, such great value like Anton, it needs to affect the way we do life. There's two ways we can respond: negatively, and let it affect us negatively, or we can let it affect us for good and for difference, where our lives change and we live our lives in a whole new life. So tonight what we're going to do, Wally and I, are going to just chat through a few scriptures, a few questions around grief, around doubt that come up around sorrow and how we handle them.
Okay.
But I just want to frame it first and foremost to say emotions are not bad. Emotions are not evil. We often will associate emotions with our teenage years, where they're probably the most heightened and they're going wild, up one day, down the next day. But emotions are not bad. We find in John chapter 11 an incredible story where Jesus, if it was in our modern day context, would get a call or SMS and he hears that his friend Lazarus is very sick. Postpones his visit, and as the days go on, Lazarus actually dies. And Jesus arrives at the grave, at the grave site, at this incredible verse, the shortest verse in the Bible, two words, it says, Jesus wept. And Tim Keller, he says that translation is too weak. It's Jesus mourns. He was moved to an anger at the injustice of death. Because we know in Christ Jesus, death is not from God. We know that that's not from God, but we know that God is sovereign and He encompasses all these things, that He is not taken by surprise by it, but He does not rejoice in the death of anyone. That's Jesus conquered sin and death. So Jesus wept at this. He mourned at this death of his friend. And we want to do that as well. We want to respond in that way, where we are so moved by this thing that it changes us forever. So let's pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Wally. Father, I pray tonight that you call us out of darkness into your marvelous light, into a thing called family. I thank you, God, that tonight that as we mourn, but not mourn with as people who do not have hope, but we grieve with hope in our hearts, knowing that you write the final story. You are the great composer in this incredible dance called life. And you know the beginning from the end. And we know that the end does not come in our mortal bodies, but we move on into glory. We thank you, Father God, that in all these things, in all these frameworks, we thank you, God, that this thing tonight, as we move on as a community, as we show the world what a family truly looks like, may many come to you through this, God. Father God, we do not want to trivialize this evening. We want to say this is the most profound evening where you will shape us for the good, that we would walk differently from here on out. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Gabe. Good evening, everybody. This evening, it's more of a talk than a preach. And I believe, and you've heard the statement many a time, that we're living life briefly on this planet, but all in preparation for eternity. And when a family friend does move from earth to eternity, it does shock us. There's nothing that can really prepare you for the unexpected like what had happened. And Anton went to have an adventure on a microlight, and nobody in their wildest dreams would have thought it was going to crash and that horrific accident that took his life. But the book of Ecclesiastes speaks there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And we need to learn to celebrate life, and we need to understand how to grieve biblically, that we don't internally have incorrect attitudes that would be to our detriment for our future. And the Bible wonderfully brings out some of these truths, and many of them I'd like to be able to give scriptures to you so that you can always refer back to the Bible, because the Bible is our anchor. Now, firstly, what I'd like to say, that God wants to help us process grief. If I could call it, it's walking through a valley. We all would like to live on mountaintops in life, but to go from mountaintop to mountaintop, you've got to go through valleys. And so it's part and parcel of life. It's not real just to live on the mountaintop. We've got to walk through valleys. But one of the beautiful things in the Song of Solomon, one of the imagery picturing Jesus is that he is the lily of the valley. So when you walk through the valley of great loss, Jesus is there, and you can find him in fresh ways. I've never seen the flower itself called the lily of the valley, but I've heard it's a small, delicate flower that is beautiful and is scented. And I want to say, in your valley, you can find beauty in Jesus, and you can find the fragrance and the scent of life. A few thoughts on how not to grieve. Firstly, unhelpful ways is don't bury your feelings. If you bury them, you'll either explode in anger or implode with depression. Learn to express them in a way with somebody that can help you process it. And can I say, losing a loved one, you cannot put a plaster on it and 3 days later pull it off and think it's fixed and sorted. It's a journey. And that's the beauty of family, that we can walk together with one another through the valley. And you know what? In the valley, relationships are forged and knitted in a way that they're never on a mountaintop. And I want to say to you this evening that through this valley, Nikki, we as a church family, I want to walk closely together with you. So the first thing is, don't bury your feelings. Secondly, never grieve alone. The Jewish culture, they always grieved in community. That's where Paul spoke about weeping together as well as celebrating and laughing together. So we want to grieve together. We need to realize that things take time. We live in a world where we want things instantly. We want to press the button and we want the solution, the answer. This takes a bit of time. And the Bible says also in the book of Ecclesiastes, he makes all things beautiful in his time. So there is a time process that I don't know how long, but we can't rush it and we can't slow it down. We've just got to walk together with him. We need to also understand that Anton can never be replaced. Never in a million years. Never ever. He was one of a man, one of a kind, unique. And we need to learn to treasure him as you remember him. And we need to fondly remember the great memories that you had with him, what we had together. I remember various courses that he attended and was part of. Those are special fun times and growing together with God times. We need to cherish those. And then we can begin to slowly move forward from there. Can I say, feel your feelings. Don't run from your pain. Pain is part and parcel of life. And we live in a world and a society where they run from pain instead of embracing pain. We want to pop a pill or take a this or a do a that, not to feel pain. The Christian life has pain and sorrow. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations, fears, frustrations, as the Amplified or Living Bible. But then he says, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. I've conquered it. And as I mentioned this morning, we worship by faith. He worships face to face with Jesus. We've got to begin to think of this life in the light of eternity. Do you want to add?
Sister David, the songwriter, he was a man accustomed with his emotions and letting them go a little bit wild. If you read the Psalms, they sometimes seem like a teenager's diary. One day, an emotional high, the next day broken, thank God, where are you? It's an incredible reading, and I love the fact that this is a man called the man after God's own heart. He didn't shy away from emotions, he didn't shy away from doubts, from questions. He embraced this God. God is not insecure. Don't tell us that, thank goodness, we worship a God who is not insecure about our doubts and our pain, our emotion. He's not saying, you're not going to stumble on some facet of him that he hasn't figured out before. He is so secure, he's so stable. But there's a question with David in Psalm. There's two parts. Where one Psalm, he speaks about, he's like, he cries out, he says, it's so unfair. Because he sees the wicked living long lives. And he sees the just dying early. And he gets so angry, and he's actually saying, God, why? Why? And I can imagine a lot of the question we probably ask at this stage is, why? Why? How come some men who are incredibly wicked would live till very old? And Anton, incredibly an amazing man, a man, a family man, a man who loves his family, a man who loved his wife, who was an incredible husband, an incredible person, a pillar in our community. Why, God? And Wayne Cordero, he talks about doubt. He says doubt is not evil. It's not wrong to have question marks in our life, because we are living by faith, and we are, God gives us room to have doubts. But I want to encourage you, with your doubts, don't take them to other people who will feel those doubts. Surround yourself with people who are walking with the Lord as well, because it's so easy, as Job, when he went through trials, to surround yourself with counselors who give you bad advice and fleshly, carnal advice, and turn to your feet, and the doubt cries out, satisfy me, satisfy me. Sometimes when we become our doubts, we want to gather around people who will hold us unswervingly in the faith. Hebrews says, hold each other unswervingly. So when the moment comes when our hearts want to swerve, when the moment like this comes, and doubt comes rears its head, and we're like, I'm going to swerve and go a different path. That's when we have one another. The family kicks in and say, we're going to hold you unswervingly to what you have confessed, what you know to be true. And that's what I love about David, is he frames all of this. He says, after the psalm, he says, but then after all these questions clouding my head, then I entered the sanctuary. And then I found perspective. Then I entered the presence of God, and these questions about the wicked and the just and death and found its meaning. He says, I didn't get all the answers, but I felt you're the one that can truly satisfy me. This itch, this demand to scratch and satisfy, can only be satisfied in the presence of worship. David framed all of this in the presence of God. And worship, we know, is not just mere singing a song. If this is worship, when we're together, when we mourn together, when we laugh together, that is worship. That's community worshiping together. So I want to encourage us that this time, that let's not forget that song. Let's not try and move on quick. But let's gather around one another. Let's talk about his life. Let's talk about the impact his life has had on us and how it has changed our lives. And let's frame it in that way.
Great. There's a number of amazing verses that I feel I'd like just to mention to you, because it's something we're going to have to begin to process, not only now, but we'll be able to help other people. There's a verse of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 and 2. It says, the righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. There's no ways this evening we can explain why, how come. You know, if you look at John the Baptist, who was killed, beheaded. You see Stephen, who was stoned. James, beheaded. But then Peter was miraculously delivered from jail. It would appear why God's not fair. Life's not fair, but God is just. And we need to begin to realize that this side of eternity, we will live with unanswered questions. That's what faith is about. But there are wonderful promises, and there's another beautiful one that I'd like to read to you from the Psalms and then from Hosea. In Psalm 84, verses 6 to 7, reads like this: when you walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of springs where pools of blessing and refreshment collect after rains. And I want to say, when you walk through this valley of weeping, there will be springs that will refresh you and strengthen you and sustain you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 15, God says, I will transform your valley of troubles into a door of hope. God will transform this troubled time, and there's a door of hope. Who is that door of hope? Is no one other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the anchor. The Bible describes in the book of Hebrews as our anchor of hope that goes beyond the veil. And it's our hope and our faith in Him that we have the assurance of where Anton is, where our loved ones are, and we can continue on earth with our eyes fixed on Him.
Incredible. Just, I love the fact that in the Bible, 2 Corinthians, it's the subtitle of the NIV is the God of all comforts. And it reads like this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts. He comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. He frames this thing even in, it's always in this envelopes of family, that we go through persecution, we go through trials, so that, I love those words, they keep propping up in Scripture, so that we may comfort those who go through trials. God gives us that we may identify with people, identify with people who are going through similar situations. And maybe you're sitting here tonight, you say, I haven't lost a loved one, I don't know, and so on, I don't know this. But we want to say, we talk tonight, you may have lost something. And that's the pain of losing a job, losing a loved one, whether it's losing, whatever it is, losing your peace. God is a God who comforts us in all situations. And I want to say that I really believe that God is teaching us as a community in this moment what it is to be family and how to surround around one another. And my appeal to us is that during this time that we would remember, and so we would move on fast, and that we would also gather around this family like never before. That even if you didn't know them, that you would pray for them, truly. I love how Paul says, I pray for you. And it doesn't have that religious connotation of I'll pray for you, and knowing that you never will. We have to believe that our prayers are really powerful, that God is moved by our prayers. And I want to say, let's gather around them with meals. This is when the church truly shines, where the family of God shines. In the suburb, we live in a suburb where divorce is rife, where the family units are being become a lower and lower priority, where fathers are mocked, where fathers are absent, where just children are running riot. But we can show the world what a family looks like in this moment. That we're not a fair weather family. When things are going well, we're there. When things are going bad, we disappear. I want to say this is what we do as a family. Tonight's a little bit different. Wally's got a few more things to share. But when we close tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to have coffee and tea. We're going to close quite early tonight. But we want to encourage you not to leave. This is a family night where we gather around together and we chat about these things. But I'll bring more of that now. Okay.
You know, so often we can often look at a more senior person and think, they're closer to eternity than I am. But in reality, we never know, because death is one heartbeat away.
Yeah.
And we've got to be prepared for that, because we never know when. David spoke about being one step away from death. We never know, but we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. And Anton was prepared. Can I say to you this evening, eternity is so vast compared to the briefness of life on earth. And I want to say we need to prepare for eternity better by making sure that our relationship with Him is strong and growing, meaningful and real. That our relationships one with another are healthy and growing. Life's too short to hold bad accounts. Life is too short not to talk to one another and work through differences and issues. Too many people go to the grave with regret. Too many people hold wrong attitudes in their heart, and there's great remorse and sorrow because they wish they could have said sorry. They wish they had made up. Can I say to this evening, the good and the sweet that can come out of this loss and tragedy is that you make sure that you're ready for eternity. You make sure that your life counts for the King the way Anton did. Live your life passionately for Him. And then one day, we can have the heavens welcome. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I believe that's what Jesus said to Anton the moment he closed his eyes on earth and opened them beholding the King. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Enter into that which I've prepared for you. I want to say to you this evening, Nikki, particularly David, as Gabriel mentioned, concerning comfort. And God's a God that comforts. In the Psalms, David said, Psalm 119, verse 50 and 76, he said, may your unfailing love be my comfort. I want to say to you this evening, let His unfailing love be your comfort. And David said this too, my comfort in my suffering is this, your promises preserve my life. Let His presence, let His love, and let His promises comfort and preserve you.
I want to pray right now. I really believe this as Wally's sharing that this is the highlight thing of unforgiveness. Just as we just realize, as Anton, and life is so short to hold on to unforgiveness, to hold on to bitterness to people. Emotions are great, but unforgiveness will kill you. It will sap the life of you. And I want to say right now, if you're sitting here and you're feeling that you need to forgive somebody in your heart, I want to pray for you right now. And then after this meeting, we want to encourage you to make that phone call. If you haven't spoken to a loved one for a while, if you need to make right with somebody, if you need to make restitution with somebody, you've wronged somebody, or somebody's wronged you, it's going to take faith, it's going to take courage. But as we've heard, life is too short to carry around this baggage, to carry this trailer around behind you. God is wanting to unhitch those trailers tonight. Tonight is a profound night. So let's pray. Father God, I pray right now for people right here, whether they've experienced loss as in death, Father God, and they feel so frustrated that there was somebody in the car who hit somebody else, or there was somebody at fault in those things, or somebody has lost their job and they're so angry and bitter, or they've lost respect for somebody, and in that way they'd say, I won't ever talk to them again, I won't respect them, I've got too many issues with my mom and dad, the way I lost my childhood because of them, because they forced me to grow up too quickly. And I've got this unforgiveness, this bitterness, this anger. Whatever that root of that thing is, I pray tonight, Father God, that you're going to set your children free. As we remember Anton, a man who lived with short accounts, whose family only have fond memories of him, and who went out with his family, being surrounded by his family, with his brother here with him. God, I thank you, Father God, that you're a God who comes and you set us free this evening as we release those people. If that's you right now, just repeat after me. Say, Father, I release, and you place the name there. I release them for what they've done to me. I forgive them. Would you help me walk in your forgiveness, God? I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work that you're doing amongst us this evening. Profound, profound work. Thank you, Father. I want to encourage you, if you've done that tonight, to make that phone call, to make that coffee date. Sometimes the person you're holding that offense against doesn't even know it, and you're the only prisoner. You're the only one caught up and bound. And for your own freedom, you need to bring it into the light and say, I release you, I forgive you. If you need help or further prayer with that, afterwards, please come chat to us. We'd love to help you through these things. We don't minimize these things. But in the light of eternity, they are trivial. They're small in the light of when we see of a man who lived life to the full and lived with short accounts. We want to do the same.
I really want to make that appeal. If you have not made a personal commitment to Christ that counts, I'm not talking just about having prayed a prayer where your life has not changed, because when Jesus Christ comes and your life changes, full stop. It's not just becoming a better person or a better socially adjusted person. Your life changes. And I want to say this, if you've never had that life-changing experience of encountering Jesus, as we close, I invite you to come up to the front. I'll pray together with you. Others will pray together with you and help you on the most exciting adventure journey you could ever wish for and dream of. But you've got to make that first step. You've got to make that commitment that counts. And I invite you up. Thank you.
Wonderful. Can we stand together as a family? And then at the end, if you need prayer for anything, if you are battling with some of this, you have questions, you need prayer, you need to have someone walk alongside you to forgive people, or if you say, I want to make a fresh commitment to Christ, in light of this, I want my life to count for so much more. When you can be faced with death at any moment, life takes on a whole new meaning. What Christ has died for us for is to live life and life to the full. So this evening, let Anton's life be a reminder, a clarion call to live life to the full. And not just roller coasters and chasing adrenaline. The greatest high, the greatest adrenaline is living your life for Christ Jesus. Being sold out from laying everything on the line. If you want to do that this evening, let's lift our hands to God together. My hands are up. Father God, I pray for us as a family. God, we grieve. We are saddened by this loss, Father God. Our lives are changed. Firstly, because we've lost someone we love, but also our lives are changed because we knew Anton. This incredible man who has challenged us through his life and now also in his death to live life to the full. And to live life chasing after you, God. Seeking after you. For you are our prize, our very great reward. We started by singing, God, be our vision. Christ, we turn our eyes to you again tonight. We turn our eyes and say, God, would you be our all in all? We right now say, God, to sinful patterns, enough. They lose their appeal in the light of eternity. We say to rejection and brokenness and unforgiveness, we say, I'm done with that. In the light of eternity, how much greater are you? You are our prize. You are our king. You are our pursuit. You're the desire of our hearts, Jesus. We want to frame this tragedy. We want to frame our lives in your presence and your goodness. So Father God, I pray, give courage to us as a family. We pray for Nikki and the family as well, Father God. We say, give them courage. Father God, give them courage in this time of turmoil, in this time of trial. But I thank you, Father God, that they would know that they have a family around them because we have heard the clarion call. And we will not shy away from this, Father God. I thank you, God, for this incredible family called Life Changers that you've put us into, you've placed us into, that we would walk this life out together. Holding each other unswervingly to the faith that we profess. I thank you, God, for all these things.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.